So I've mentioned before that I lived in Florida for a total of 6 years in my life. My first youth ministry was for 4 years, and then I worked at a church plant in Sarasota for a couple years. And although I lived two short hours from Disney World, I never went. I don't know why, but after like 3 or 4 years of not going, I'm like, well, let's just keep the streak going. I mean, let's do this. So, yeah, I've never been. But I lived in Tampa Bay for 4 years the first time. And one of our favorite things to do was to make fun of the people that always ran to Orlando when a hurricane was coming. And then the people in our area, it was like the most beautiful weather ever in our area. And then Orlando would get ravaged by high winds and hurricanes. And they're like, I don't know. So anyway, we did that a lot. Because there's a lot of hurricane activity. I don't know if you know that in Florida. But one very cool thing to do in Florida is to drive around after a storm. And what happens is, what you'll inevitably see is trees toppled over like that. I mean, huge trees. Just roots torn out of the ground. And you would just drive around and around and around, and there'd be downed trees and all this other stuff. But it was just amazing. You'd see these like 100-year oaks that just the whole root structure was ripped from the ground. And it wasn't even a hurricane. It was just big winds or big rain. And I think what we're going to talk about today is why that is. Not the tree. But the tree has a lot to do with us. Is that how do we get from one point to the next point where we don't even realize who we are anymore? We don't even realize who we're looking at in the mirror? And I think it has to do with the roots. Because if you have problems with your roots, then you've got problems. Right? Let me pray. God, we love you so much. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your servant Paul and the book of Romans. We just pray that you would be with us today. Your spirit would be among us. And that it would be active and working on our hearts. And repairing roots if it need be. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Yeah, amen. If you have your Bibles, you turn with me, or you can read it on the screen, Romans 1, 18 to 32. It says, but God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who push the truth away from themselves. For the truth about God is known to them instinctively. God has put this knowledge in their hearts. From time to time, the world was created. People have seen the earth and sky and all that God made. They can clearly see his invisible qualities, his external power, and his divine nature. So they have no excuse whatsoever for not knowing God. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. The result was their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they became utter fools instead. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people, or birds, and animals, and snakes. So God let them go ahead and do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. Instead of believing what they knew was the truth about God, they deliberately chose to believe lies. So they worshiped the things that God made and not the Creator himself, who is to be praised forever. Amen. That is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even the women turned against the natural way to have sex, and instead indulged in sex with each other. And men, instead of having normal sexual relations with women, burned with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men, and as a result, they suffered within themselves the penalty they so richly deserved. When they refused to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their evil minds and let them do things that should never be done. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, fighting, deception, malice behavior, and gossip. They are backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, boastful. They are forever inventing new ways of sinning and are disobedient to their parents. They refuse to understand, break their promises, and are heartless and unforgiving. They are fully aware of God's death penalty for those who do these things, yet they go right ahead and do them anyway. And worse yet, they encourage others to do them too. Whew. Really? I gotta talk about this like right now? Paul doesn't beat around the bush. He just gets right into it, right? N.T. Wright writes, Paul's explanation for why the gospel, the unveiling of God's justice and salvation, is urgently required is that the tree is rotten to the core and might come crashing down at any minute. The tree in question is the human race, as it has worked itself into rebellion against its creator at every level. Humans were always designed to be the central part to God's plan to rule his creation. That's part of what it means to be made in God's image in Genesis, verse chapter 1. So when humans go wrong, the world as a whole is put out of joint. That Paul has his wider salvation in view is clear from the climax in Romans 8. But for now, he concentrates on the central feature of the problem, human rebellion. From verse 18 right through chapter 2:16, he lays out a charge against the human race in general. Humankind is rotten at its heart, and the eventual crash to which this will lead is anticipated in the signs of corruption and decay, which we can see, so to speak, in the upper branches. Our present passage rightly begins with the rotting of the roots themselves. Humans were made to know, worship, love, and serve the Creator God. That always was and always will be the way to a healthy and fruitful human living. It demands, of course, a certain kind of humility, a willingness to let God be God, to celebrate and honor Him as such, and acknowledge His power in and over the world. Paul affirms that human beings have not lost this sense of God's power and deity, but he declares that they have chosen to ignore this truth instead of honoring God and giving Him thanks. Mankind has rejected God and embraced corruption. All trees are affected by the diseases of the root, but the disease can be cured, and Paul explains how. Paul is saying, we got a problem here. The roots, they're bad. This tree looks mighty, and it looks awesome. But a little wind comes, a little rain comes, and that whole tree is going to topple over. Because while a tree can look awesome from the outside, what's going on down deep in the roots is what matters. And if there's rot and decay there, your tree isn't long for this world. Look at verses 21 through 23. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship Him as God or even give Him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. The result was that their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they became utter fools instead. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people or birds and animals and snakes. So here, Paul explains graphically how the disease spreads. You guys know the quote Ralph Waldo Emerson was famous for. It said, sow a thought and you reap an action. Sow an act and you reap a habit. Sow a habit and you reap a character. Sow a character and you reap a destiny. And Paul is saying that here. One almost never simply starts doing evil acts against God and humanity, right? You don't just wake up one day and go, you know what? I'm going to do evil stuff today. Right? It's a gradual, slippery slope type of thing, right? You start thinking about something, and in that thinking, you start thinking about it more and more and more. And then you start, that kind of leads to an action. And the action leads to more actions, right? You guys got me here? Aside from sort of mental illness, there's usually a progression. Breaking Bad, I don't know if you guys ever saw this TV show when it was on for the 5 years it was on. In my opinion, was the best show ever on TV. And it wasn't my favorite. But it is the best, well-written show I think I've ever seen. I don't know if you even know the premise, but there is a high school chemistry teacher. And he develops cancer, and his insurance won't cover the cost of everything, and he's a teacher. And so he starts dealing drugs, making drugs, really, to help pay for this, his cancer treatments. And it is the progression of that fact for 5 years later, and I won't tell you what happens, and it's... I'm not saying to watch the show. Let me say that right now. Don't be like, hey, the preacher said we should watch this Breaking Bad show. It's got some horrible things. It's a drug dealing show. I mean, that's what it is. But it shows what a man can do when he does one act, which takes him a little bit further to another act, which takes him a little bit deeper into this act. And the next thing you know, you wake up and you don't even recognize who you are anymore. You don't even recognize who you've become. I think this show is so brilliant because it's realistic. It shows how left to a man's own, just how far and how quickly he can fall down a mountainside, and one moment you wake up and realize how far you've fallen. Sow a thought and you reap an action. Sow an act and you reap a habit. Sow a habit and you reap a character. Sow a character and you reap a destiny. Throw some desperation and foolish thinking in there, and you've got a real storm brewing. Paul gives a progression here. Twisted thinking leads to a darkened heart, which leads to deceiving ourselves with our own wisdom. N.T. Wright goes on and says, you know, it is quite possible for humans to claim that doing one thing is good and wise and doing the opposite is bad and foolish, and to be exactly wrong. This doesn't mean that all moral standards are relatives. It's simply a matter of cultural preferences. Rather, it's a sign that we do indeed very easily deceive ourselves, especially where our own interests and desires are concerned. The first sign of the creeping death that spreads upward from twisted thinking and a darkened heart into the rest of human life in question is the failure to worship God. We are made to worship the living God and bear His image. And I know that lots of times we think what idiots these people were, worshiping statues or carved things or gold emblems or cows. Really? We think, man, how silly they were, how foolish they were. I would never do anything like that. But we do the same thing today, don't we? Our idols just take different forms, or like money, or sex, or power, or stuff, or status, right? Those are the idols of today. We have to have the newest, greatest, whatever. And we must do whatever it takes to get it. And that has become our God. Twisted thinking leads to a darkened heart, which leads to deceiving ourselves with our own wisdom and the worship of non-gods. This is the disease that threatens all of our hearts. So the result of that is God's anger. So many times the result of the slippery slope is not merely the person's darkened heart and soul. Almost always the fallout involves the innocent and the vulnerable. it's never just you that you affect. I know that you think to yourself, and I think to myself, oh, this isn't going to hurt anybody but me if it hurts me. Almost always, at first, maybe that's true, but eventually your sinful life will hurt innocent. It will hurt the vulnerable. It will hurt the needy. Maybe even your own children. That's a toll. As we shall see in chapter 2, God is patient, He is kind, He is forbearing, He cares passionately about His world and His human creatures. And if there are types of activity which deface, damage, and destroy the world and human beings, God will not let them go on forever. Rape, murder, torture, economic oppression, the list can go on and on, and indeed will go on and on later on in the chapter. God hates them all. He is angry about them all. Let's be quite clear. If He were not, He would not be a good God. He is not in the business of saying that the tree is perfectly all right when in fact it has a fatal disease when the roots are rotten to the core. Verse 24 through 27 says this, "So God let them go ahead and do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. Instead of believing what they knew to be the truth about God, they deliberately chose to believe lies. So they worship the things God made, but not the Creator Himself, who is to be praised forever." Amen. That is why God abandoned them to their own shameful desires. Even the women turned against the natural way to have sex and instead indulged in sex with each other. And men, instead of having normal sexual relations with women, burned with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men and as a result suffered within themselves the penalty they so richly deserved. Paul, while he is writing this, I believe has Genesis 1, chapters 1 through 3 in mind. I know you guys think, well, you think everything goes back to Genesis chapter 1 through 3. And, well, I kind of do. I do think, Paul is considering the Creator of all, right? The stars, the skies, the birds, the fish, man, woman. He is considering how He made all of them and all of it for a purpose. And how because of the snake, because of the bad choices made in the garden, that it all got messed up. Now people have gone their own ways, have had ill thoughts, darkened hearts, believed their own foolishness, and have put themselves on the throne where God should be. Because of this, we have all lived a life of rebellion. One where we have lived in direct opposition of the way that the Creator intended us to live. And I read that, and I read these verses, and some of you are thrilled that I would say that homosexuality is wrong. Score, preacher! Good job! And some of you are hurt that I would say that this is wrong. Boo, preacher. Here's what I have to say to both sides. Can we see people, gay people, straight people, white people, black people, purple people, as Evelyn likes to say? Can we see them all as God sees them, His creation? Can we stop with the sides? Is homosexuality sinful? From every way I read my Bible, yes. So for the people that do not think it is wrong, I'm sorry, but I can't read my Bible any other way. Well, let's talk about that. I would love to do some more study with people that don't think it's wrong. And we can figure it out together. Another thought? You know what else is wrong? Premarital sex. Living with one another before marriage. Lusting after one another on the TV set. As verse 29 says, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, gossip, proud, boastfulness. You guys get this? It's sin. It's all sin. It all separates us from God. It all keeps us from being perfect, which really, unless you have Jesus, is the way that you get to heaven. right? But can we all see people as our brothers and sisters? What if you had a brother that was gay? A sister? A son? A daughter? Don't you think you'd be a little more gentle with those people? And the way you harshly speak of some of them? As we see later on in this letter, we are all equals. We have all sinned, and therefore we all must fall on His grace. And if that is something that you struggle with today, I want you to know that we at Bowen Christian Church love you. And we want so very badly for all sin to be liberated from you in your lives. And this is something you just can't get on board with. You say, I don't understand how a loving God would let this happen, why somebody would feel this way. That's cool. I'd love to talk to you more about that. We'll talk. But as far as I'm concerned, you are a sinner just like everybody else. We're all on the same footing. And we all desperately need Jesus. Let's stop with sides. Let's stop with pointing fingers and hurling accusations against people and just start to see people how God sees people. His kids. His creation. Verses 28 to 32. When they refused to acknowledge God, He abandoned them to their evil minds and let them do things that should never be done. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, fighting, deception, malice behavior, and gossip. They are backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. They are forever inventing new ways of sinning and are disobedient to their parents. They refuse to understand, break their promises, and are heartless and unforgiving. They are fully aware of God's death penalty for those who do these things, yet they go right ahead and do them anyway. And worse yet, they encourage others to do them too. Our sin is the result of thinking that it is foolishness to acknowledge God. Do you realize you're guilty of that too? I think sometimes we read the Bible and we think, yeah, you tell them, Paul. Or you tell them, Jesus, way to go. And of course, you're right. Every book or letter was written to an audience for that audience, right? The book of Romans was written for the Romans, for the church in Rome. And it's written for a very specific audience in mind, but oftentimes there is a nugget in there for us too, right? Something that we can latch on to. Have you ever looked around and thought to yourself, how did I get here? I'm kind of a fool. I was. I didn't graduate college in time, right? So I had like a couple classes I had to take the next semester to finish. And I wanted to get started with doing some ministry. And so I kind of did some ministry. And then I also was kind of finishing up school. And to support that ministry, it was kind of like a missionary endeavor. So I had to work another job. Bivocational. Trivocational? I don't know. Anyway. But here's my loop. My loop would be from Champaign, Illinois, where I lived, to Lincoln, Illinois, where I went to school, and then at Charleston, Illinois, where I did ministry. It was this triangle, right? And every week, I did this triangle. I remember one day, I got in my car from Charleston, driving from Lincoln to Charleston. It was at night. And I remember getting to Charleston and saying to myself, how did I get here? You ever had that happen? You're like so tired that you're just like, you arrive at your location. You're like, whoa, I don't remember any of that drive. Aaron, he's not in here. Maybe truck drivers get that a lot. But I was just like, this is crazy. I have no recollection of the 2-hour drive I just did. Sow a thought and you reap an action. You sow an act and you reap a habit. You sow a habit and you reap a character. You sow a character and you reap a destiny. How did we get here? I mean, you ask yourself that question. How did I get here? Do I like where I am right now? Do I like the condition of my roots? Are my branches starting to show some decay because my roots are all messed up? Here's what's really cool. We have a God that is a master arborist. And that God wants to take your roots, He wants to take your lives, He wants to take your branches, and He wants to make them whole and pure and right. That God did the very thing that you couldn't do for yourselves. That He reached down into creation and He provided an escape when He sent Jesus. You need an escape today? You need help? If so, we invite you to come forward. We invite you to give your life to Jesus this morning. We invite you to come forward and say, you know what, I don't know what this is all about. I don't know how this works, but man, I need something in my life because all I see is darkness and decay. And if that's you today, we just invite you to come forward and receive some prayer. We'd love to pray with you. But don't let today be a day where you say, you know what, my roots are pretty messed up, but they'll hold on. We don't know when a big wind is coming. We don't know when the next storm happens. But we want you to have roots that go deep. And so that when the winds of life come against you, you can stand. And with Jesus, you can always stand.